And joining us here with ideas on how to maximize your money is Stephen Esposito. He's Executive Director, Wealth Advisor, Senior Portfolio Management Director, Morgan Stanley in Lake Forest. How you doing, Stephen? How's your day going?
I'm great, thank you. How's yours?
So far, so good. You know, I'm, you know, looking at the markets, looking at the financial news of the day, it's more of the same. There is a lot of talk about inflation, a lot of talk about supply chain issues, a lot of uneasiness about what's next. What can you tell us?
Well, obviously, yeah, that is dominating the uncertainty of what's going on. And I believe that that's an opportunity. A lot of investors aren't in cyclical companies. They don't own a lot of them. They mostly are heavily weighted in indexes. And I think this is going to give you an opportunity to get in for the next major move up, which I think will occur over the next 6 to 9 months in the cyclicals. I think we'll get through all this, the supply chain issues, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And once we do, you'll find that some of the best bargains in the market right now are still the cyclical sector.
And when you say cyclical sector, what do you mean? Put that in plain English.
Obviously, all those companies that benefit from the turnaround, the coming out of COVID, the economy rebounding, supply chains catching up, labor shortages being relieved. You're looking at financials. Obviously, as interest rates go up, they will do better. The autos, the travel and leisure, the energy sector, which is on fire this year after being one of the biggest dogs in 2020, even healthcare. I think there's a lot of opportunities underneath the surface of the market that a lot of investors simply off their radar right now because they're not high-flying tech names or story stocks, as I call them. So that's where the bargains are, and there's also some nice dividends there too, Anna. There's some really good returns you can get in just in dividend yields alone.
I want to get in more into alternative investments in just a second, but I'm just looking here. The major indexes are coming down to the end of the year. S&P 500 fully ahead of the pack, up nearly 17% year-to-date. The Dow, NASDAQ Composite, and Russell 2000 are all up about 13%. Strong growth this year. Can this picture continue? Most analysts are predicting that it may not.
Well, from the index perspective, there's really two markets. There's the indexes, and then there's the rest of the market. The S&P 500, five stocks make up about 25% of the entire index. The Russell 1000, there are 1,000 companies, obviously. Five stocks there, again, make up 38% of the index. So there's a lot of companies that are either not heavily enough weighted, like energy, for example, to have an impact on the indexes, and many other companies, thousands of companies, literally, that are out there are trading at single-digit P/E ratios. But I also think they'll have the biggest percentage gains in earnings. So with the general S&P trading around 20 times earnings, I'm looking for those companies that will benefit the most from the recovery, but also trading in the single-digit multiple areas and get dividends where I can. And those are something you're just not going to see a lot in the news. And that's where I think investors need to look.
So smart places, you said the cyclical sectors, you like travel, retail, the financial sector, energy, that sort of thing. People should be looking into those to see what kinds of stocks make sense for them, what kinds of things they want to invest in. Are there any alternative investments that you would advise clients at a time like this?
Not really. I've been doing this nearly four decades, and I've learned to keep it as simple as possible. Diversify, have a good portfolio, and be selective. And I don't sometimes get off into the weeds, as they say, in some of those areas. I just think there's so many bargains right now in this market where investors can spread out by 30, 40, 50 names in a well-managed portfolio and collect some nice dividend income and be able to sleep at night, not worrying about whether this company trading at 100 times estimated earnings is going to continue to run and be part of the momentum trade. I think there's a lot of companies, as I said, have been left just behind that nobody's been. They're off the radar screen. And there's some big companies out there, especially in the sectors I mentioned. So I think that's where you should be putting your money. I really do. I think the diversification is easier. The income is better in many instances. And I think the returns are going to be far better than people realize simply because if you look in the automobile sector, when the automobile supplies catch up and the P/E ratios of many of these companies trading at 5, 6, 7 times earnings, that's kind of crazy. I think they could trade at 10 or 12 times earnings and even better numbers. So at that alone can offer some pretty spectacular returns, providing nothing new comes out of left field, of course. You got to watch China, you got to watch Washington, D.C., et cetera.
Yeah, for sure. All eyes on those. But, you know, I wonder, do you still like the tech sector? There has been so much attention and tremendous growth in the FANG stocks, for instance, Facebook, Apple, Amazon, Netflix, Google, and tech stocks in general that's been fueling the markets. I wonder what you think about that. Is that due for a cooling off?
I think it's been cooling off for a while now, depending on which ones you look at, of course. If you look at some of the names in there, many of them are where they were a year ago or even lower. Others are higher. But you're right. The domination of that sector simply by people putting money in an index, by definition, they're just fueling it. Because, as I said, if five companies out of 500 represent 20 to 25% of the S&P 500, that's where the bulk of the money's going. It becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. I think it's a crowded trade. I really do. I think you need to be a stock picker in this market, not just put money into ETFs and indexes. While they're not bad investments, I think you've got to be careful. So if you're a stock picker and you don't know how to look for companies who are trading at very low multiples and price to sales, price to earnings with good balance sheets, you're going to find some hidden gems out there. And there's a lot more than normal. So I do think the rotation out of the indexes, as they start to spread out more, and rotation into cyclicals will, as our chief strategist, our global investment committee said, will result in a powerful rotation into cyclicals as money starts to come out of that crowded trade. And I agree with him 100%.
Oil's breaking that psychological $80 a barrel today, and it's looking like an upward trend continues there. I want to ask you, Stephen, your perspective. Some analysts are predicting $100 oil by the end of the year. What do you think about all this?
I think that's possible. Remember, we're not drilling. We were energy independent a year ago, and we're not drilling anymore. So the fact that we're not really drilling and creating, there's even worse situations in Europe as to what's going on there. So they're not going to ramp up that quickly. A lot of companies went bankrupt in that area. So with demand improving, as Europe opens up and there's more travel and more flying, as cars finally get to the roads from the dealerships, you'll see simply more demand and less supply. So that's a recipe for higher prices. They could have some other effects as well in some other industries, and some little bit of inflation you got to look at. But I think oil could go there just on a speculative move. But 80 seems like a fair price right now for what's going on. But anything's possible with the futures contracts these days. Anything's possible. Yeah. So, you know, if you own oil stocks, that's a good thing.
Yeah, sure is. And you took a beating maybe a little bit before, but now it's certainly paying off. When you talk about supply chain issues, which seems to be the one of these central issues affecting the entire economy right now, probably globally, which areas are being hit hardest by that? You're saying that you see it easing up a little bit, but what's being hit the hardest, would you say?
Well, you know, last week they said that actually the rates for shipping from China actually went down for the first time. So I don't know if that's hopefully it's the beginning of a trend. But like anything else, price fixes price. That's what you got to remember. And right now, one of the biggest problems is it's taking 10 days just to unload the ships out there, and they can't find enough trucks to ship them or employees to unload them, etc. That will catch up at some point. So supply chain issues, I think, are temporary. Because what's good about capitalism, somebody will find a way to do it better, and they'll make a lot of money. So as that starts to work itself out through the system, whether it be the retail sector, whether it be, again, the automobile, the supplier parts in the automobiles, whether it be washing machines, everybody knows where you go, what you can't get right now. That will fix itself. It will come back. Labor will come back into the market. And hopefully in the next two, three, four, five, six months, you'll start to see some real headway being made. But too many investors are focused on what's going on right now. You need to look out where the puck, as Wayne Gretzky said it, you've got to skate to where the puck is going, not where it's at. I think that's what investors need to look out. Where are we going to be in April or July of next year? And make your investments based on that criteria, not based on a week from Monday.
Well put, Stephen. I would just like to see coffee come down. I went to my coffee place over the weekend. It was 25 cents higher, $5.25 than it was like the week before. I said, wait a minute, I was just here a week ago. It was $5. They're like, yeah, supply chain issues. I was like, oh, all right. That's how it is. Maybe did they come down eventually, or does it stay up here? What do you think?
Yeah, I think what's good about, again, the glass is half full. When you look at it in such a way that we don't have a demand problem, the demand problem is much worse. The supply problem is better because eventually the demand will be filled. If you have nobody wanting to buy the product and things are just, and coffee's now down to $2 per cup, that may feel great in the long run, but it's not good for the industry and the strength of the industry. So the stronger the economy is, the better everybody pretty much does, depending on, of course, where you're at. So, you know, $5 coffee, I don't think that's a good thing. I think it's a little crazy for the price. But if everybody's making more money now and they're doing better, then they can afford it.
Yeah.
So I don't want things to get out of control, but at the same time, I'd like to see businesses doing well. That's good all the way around.
Certainly is. Thank you, Stephen, for the perspective. I always appreciate it.
Thank you.